This week's Parsha is Parsha's Emor, and we will focus on chapter 21, Pasuk number 2. But first we'll say chapter 21, Pasuk number 1. The Pasuk starts, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Emor el ha-Kohanim bnei Aharon, say to the Kohanim, children of Aharon, Vomartu aleihem, and you should say to them, Lenefesh lo yitama ba'amov, to a dead person, he should not become impure among his people. Meaning that a kohen is not allowed to contaminate himself and touch a dead body. Except for the relative that is closest to him. Rashi says that's referring to his wife. Le'imoy to his mother. Ule'aviv and to his father. Ve'livnoy to his son. Ule'vitoy to his daughter. Ule'achiv and to his brother. And the next pasuk adds another relative, which is his unmarried sister. Basically, the Kohen is allowed to contaminate himself to his seven relatives, which are his wife, his mother, his father, son, daughter, brother, and unmarried sister. Our shir today will focus on the fact that when it's listing the relatives, it first lists le'imoy to his mother, and then it lists ule'aviv and to his father. Why is it written first that the kohen is allowed to contaminate himself to his mother, and then it's written that he is allowed to contaminate himself to the father? What is the point of putting the mother and then the father? The Eben Ezra asks this question, and the Eben Ezra says, the tam lahaskir imoy koidem oav, the reason that the mother is written before the father, ki hazachor, because in majority of times, the male, the father, lives longer than the mother. The Eben Ezra means to say that the Torah is listing the list of what normally would happen. Normally, you would lose your mother before you lose your father. Therefore, it's written first, le'imoi, for his mother, and then ul'aviv, for his father. Mefarshim explained that Eben Ezra is actually based on the Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where the Mishnah there says, Al Sholosh Averois Noshos Meisois B'Shas Lidosom, that because of three transgressions, women die in childbirth. Meaning, although under normal circumstances, this woman would have enough merit to make her survive regular situations, but when you put yourself in a situation of danger, then we have a rule that Satan mekatrek b'shas haskana, that the persecuting angel criticizes when is danger, and then you're required to have extra merits in order to survive. And since a woman naturally is put in a dangerous situation every time she gives birth, the Mishnah says that if she transgressed any of these three sins that we are going to list, then the prosecuting angel has power and she will die. What are the three transgressions that causes her to die? The Gemara says that al she'eino zehiros benida, that they are not careful, not meticulous in the laws of nida, bechala, they do not separate the appropriate chala, uvehadlakas aner, they are not careful in lighting the Shabbos candles. But nonetheless, we see, according to this Gemara, that women are put in danger very often, and these sins would cause them to die. And as a matter of fact, Tosfos in Ksubas Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis 83b writes down the Misa Benoshim Shchiach, that death is very common in women. The Rav Pe'omim, because a lot of times Mr. Kenneth Beleda, they get endangered during childbirth. We see from this that women have a bigger chance of dying than men. Therefore, Mefarshim say that this is what the Eben Ezra based his opinion, that women die sooner than men. Therefore, the Torah is listing the people that the Kohen is allowed to contaminate, that he is allowed to bury. The Torah first lists his mother, because his mother probably will die before his father, and therefore she is listed first. Mefarshim ask a very strong question on this Eben Ezra, because in chapter 21, verse number 11, where he's discussing a Kohen Gadol, there the Pasuk says, Valkol nafshis mes lo yavoi, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to contaminate himself to any soul of a dead body, lo aviv, to his father, ule imoy, and to his mother, lo yitamo, is not allowed to contaminate himself. Meaning that a regular Kohen could contaminate himself to the seven relatives that we listed above, but a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, since his holiness is greater, is not allowed to contaminate himself even to the seven relatives that's permitted for a regular Kohen. But when the Torah lists the relatives that he can't contaminate, the Torah first lists Le'aviv, to his father, Ule'imo, and to his mother. And if we follow the logic of the Eben Ezra, that the Eben Ezra says the Torah always lists those who are more commonly dead first, why does the Torah list their father first and then mother? We just mentioned that mothers die before fathers. Then there the Torah should have listed first Le'imoy u'le'aviv lo yitama, to his mother and his father should not contaminate, in the same way that the Torah listed that by the Kohen Hedyot, by a regular Kohen, the Torah should have listed the same way by the Kohen Gadol, and the message could have been the same, that even though your mother is going to die first, nonetheless, you're not allowed to contaminate yourself to your mother. The Kli Chemda brings this question, and the Kli Chemda says that he heard from a Chacham Echad a good answer, that in majority of times, if the son is deserving, then the son of a Kohen Gadol becomes the next Kohen Gadol. After the Kohen Gadol passes away, his son, if he's deserving, he becomes Kohen Gadol. And that is the normal situation, that the Kohen Gadol, the high priesthood, is transferred to one of his sons. Therefore, it is more common that the father will die regarding a Kohen Gadol than a mother will die. Meaning that if the mother dies before the father of this potential Kohen Gadol, then that son, meanwhile, is a Kohen Hedyot, is a regular Kohen. And since he's still a regular Kohen, he would be allowed to contaminate himself to bury his mother. Only after he becomes a Kohen Gadol, that is the only time that becomes prohibited for him to bury his mother. And normally, when he becomes a Kohen Gadol, he only becomes a Kohen Gadol because his father dies. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you that you're not allowed to contaminate to your father first, because that is how you become a Kohen Gadol. And then if your mother dies after your father, you won't be able to contaminate to your mother either. True that normally women die before men, but in this case, if the woman dies before the man, that means you were not yet a Kohen Gadol, because you only become a Kohen Gadol after your father dies, since this position normally was a hereditary position. Since once you become a Kohen Gadol, the first thing that probably would happen is that your father died. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you first that you should not contaminate yourself to your father, and also you should not contaminate yourself for your mother in case your mother was still alive when you are Kohen Gadol. And that is consistent with the Eben Ezra, because the Eben Ezra says that the Torah lists what most common is going to happen to you, and most common you encounter your father's funeral if you are Kohen Gadol than your mother's funeral. The Kli Yakar also asks this question regarding a regular Kohen: why is it written first his mother and then his father? And the Kli Yakar answers a few different answers. In his first answer, the Kli Yakar says that it is a greater chiddush, it's a greater novelty to tell you that a regular Kohen is allowed to contaminate to his mother, that even though his mother is not part of Aharon's family, she is not the daughter of a Kohen, because your father, the Kohen, is allowed to marry any other woman, is allowed to marry a Leviah or Israelis, and you are still a Kohen, you would have thought that you're not allowed to contaminate to somebody who doesn't have your holiness. Therefore, the Torah tells you that you are allowed to contaminate yourself to your mother, even though she is not a Kohenes, even though she is not part of the Harun's family, and for sure you're allowed to contaminate yourself to your father, who is a Kohen, who is part of your family, who has the same level of holiness as you do. And the Kliyokra continues and says that regarding a Kohen Gadol, the novelty is the opposite, meaning that by a Kohen Gadol is written, as we mentioned, first your father, then your mother, because there the novelty is that you can't even contaminate to your father, that even though your father is a Kohen and is part of the same holiness that you are, but since now you are a Kohen Gadol, you are high priest, you can't even contaminate to somebody who had your previous holiness, to your father who was a Kohen. And for sure you are not allowed to contaminate yourself to your mother, which is possible that she was never a Kohenes, that she is a Israelis or a Levia, which doesn't have your same holiness. Therefore, the order is reversed by Kohen Gadol, by high priest, and there is written La'aviv ule'imoy, to his father and his mother, he should not contaminate himself. In other words, according to this opinion of the Kliyokor, both times when the Torah writes the first word gives you the greater chiddush, the greater novelty, and by a regular Kohen, the greater novelty is that you're allowed to contaminate yourself to your mother, even though she is not part of the Kohen family. She only became part of the Kohen family through marriage, but she was not originally part of the Kohen family. Nonetheless, you're allowed to contaminate to her and you're allowed to bury her. And by Kohen Gadol, the novelty is the opposite. The first word written there is to your father, because there the Torah is telling you that even though your father is part of the Kohen family, still you're not allowed to contaminate yourself, because now you are a high priest and you don't belong technically to your family, you belong to the Jewish people. And for sure you're not allowed to contaminate yourself to your mother, which is maybe not even part of the Kohen family. She could be part of different families, which for sure you shouldn't be able to contaminate yourself given your higher holiness. The second interpretation of the Kliyokor is that if you are going to interpret this in the mode of loy zu av zu, meaning that not only this, but for sure this, meaning that the first term it's always a given and the second one is a novelty. And here, regarding a regular priest, it's written le'imoy ule'aviv, that you're allowed to contaminate yourself to your mother and you're allowed to contaminate yourself to your father. Here the given is your mother, meaning since your mother suffered so much in your birth, in your pregnancy, and in raising you, then it is a given that you are required to contaminate yourself to her. It's a given that you are required to bury her. But regarding your father, since he didn't suffer as much, you would have thought that you're not allowed to contaminate yourself to your father. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you that even to your father, you're allowed to contaminate yourself. And the opposite is true by a Kohen Gadol. The high priest, there it's written, to your father and to your mother, you should not contaminate yourself. And the reason is because to a father, it's a given that you don't have to contaminate yourself, because he did not suffer through your pregnancy, did not suffer through your childbirth, and did not suffer as much through your child rearing. But a mother that suffers much more, I would have thought that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to contaminate himself to her, is allowed to bury her. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you that even to a mother, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to bury. Even though you owe her so much for going through what she went through, you're still not allowed to contaminate to her. The Kliyokor, in his last answer, uses the same idea as the previous answer, that the Pasuk is written in the mode Loizu Avzu, not only that, even that. And he introduces an interesting idea, and he says that if you have a dead man to be buried and a dead woman to be buried, you should always bury the dead woman first, because the degradation of a woman laying unburied is greater of that of a man. Therefore, by a regular Kohen, the Pasuk says that he has to bury his mother where the degradation is great, and for sure he has to bury his father where the degradation is not so great. And also, according to the Kliyokor, the Pasuk is telling you the priority of burial, that if you have a father and you have a mother to be buried at the same time, you should always bury your mother first and then your father. And regarding the Kohen Gadol, the opposite, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to bury his father, even though is not such great degradation. But you'd have thought that burying his mother, where the degradation is greater, we would allow the Kohen Gadol to go through the burial and to contaminate himself to his mother in order for his mother not to pass through such degradation. The Torah tells you that even to his mother, he's not allowed to contaminate himself, even though the degradation is greater, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to bury him. The other answer of the Kli Yakor is also brought by the Cheskuni, which is also brought by the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, which quotes a Torah's Kohanim. The Torah's Kohanim asks literally this question. Torah's Kohanim says, if it's written that a Kohen is allowed to contaminate himself to his mother, why does the Torah have to tell me that you could contaminate yourself to your father? Meaning, why not? I would have deduced automatically, Ma imoy shehim ischaleles harayu metamelo, your mother, that she becomes a chalala, she becomes desecrated, I could contaminate to her. Aviv she'enom ischalel, eno din she'itmoloi. For sure, your father, which cannot become a chalal, cannot become desecrated, for sure I'm allowed to contaminate. Meaning that there is a law that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. If a Kohen marries a divorcee, that divorcee becomes a chalala and she is disqualified to marry any other Kohen. It's possible that a Kohen had a child, that child is a regular Kohen, and then he divorced his wife, and then he himself remarried this wife, then this wife, which is your mother, is a halala. Nonetheless, the Torah tells you that if she dies, even though she's a halala, she's desecrated, she's disqualified to marry any other Kohen, you could contaminate yourself to her. You have to bury her. For sure, your father, which your father could never become desecrated, you could contaminate to him. Then why does the Torah have to write down Le'aviv to your father? The Torah's Kohanim answers that if it be written only your mother, I would have thought Ma imoy b'yadua, in the same way that your mother is clearly known, Av aviv b'yadua, also to your father you only allowed to contaminate if you know for sure that he is your father. Meaning, I would have thought that the reason you are allowed to contaminate to your mother is because you are 100% sure that this is your mother. A mother, we always know who it is because we come out of the womb, then we know that this is the mother. Therefore, since there is no doubt, a Kohen is allowed to contaminate himself to her. And the same way you are allowed to contaminate to the father, that if your father was alone, if your mother all the time, they are both locked in jail together at the time of the pregnancy, for example, then it's known that this is your father. In this case, you could contaminate yourself to your father, because in this case, you are 100% sure that this is your father. But aviv bechazaka, a father that you are not 100% sure, you have a presumption of sureness. You cannot verify 100% that your mother did not have an affair, and you assume that this is your father. True, that they have a cheskas kashrus, that they have a presumption of doing the right thing, but you are never sure that this is your father. I would have thought that in this case, you are not allowed to contaminate yourself to your father because you are never sure. Nonetheless, the Torah tells you, Ule Aviv, that you are allowed to contaminate yourself to your father. That even though you're not 100% sure that this is your father, nonetheless, you are allowed to contaminate to your father. According to this, we have a reason why it's written first, Le'imoy Ule Aviv, to tell you not only you're allowed to contaminate yourself to your mother when you are 100% sure that's your mother, but also to your father, you're allowed to contaminate yourself to him even though you are never 100% sure that this is your father. The Kriyakar and the Cheskuni continue that now I understand why in the case of the Kohen Gadol, of the high priest, the order is reversed, meaning that by the high priest it's written that he is not allowed to contaminate himself to his father. I could have thought that the reason that he can't contaminate to his father is because the father, you never sure. But to his mother, I would have thought, since your mother, you always know who it is, then a high priest is allowed to contaminate himself to her. Therefore, it's written there by the Kohen Gadol, La'aviv uleimoi, to his father and also to his mother, lo yitamo, he is not allowed to contaminate. That even to your mother, you're sure that she is your mother. Nonetheless, if you are high priest, you can't contaminate yourself to her. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh brings this Toras Kohanim, as we mentioned, that the Toras Kohanim says that even though you only have a presumption that this is your father, nonetheless, the Torah tells you, you are allowed to contaminate yourself to him. You are allowed to bury him. The Or HaChaim brings a question from the Chachmei Lunil. And this question is a very strong question. The Chachmei Lunil asks, why is it necessary for the Torah to tell me that a father that's only presumed I'm allowed to contaminate to him, meaning that if the Torah would have written just your mother, I would have thought that only a mother that I'm sure I could contaminate, but a father which normally I am not 100% sure we cannot contaminate. The Chachmei Lunil asks what kind of logic would say that I shouldn't be able to contaminate to your father. Memonevshach, if that is your father, if your mother did not commit adultery, then this is your father, then you are a Kohen and your father is a Kohen. Therefore, it is assumed that you are allowed to contaminate because we learn from your mother. In the same way that your mother, you are 100% sure that's your mother, you could contaminate. If you would have been 100% sure that this is your father, you would have learned that you could contaminate yourself. But let's say that your mother had an affair, and this is really not your father. If your mother had an affair, then comes out that you are not a legitimate son. You are a mamzer. You are actually not even a Kohen, because you are a product of adultery, and therefore you are an halachic mamzer. And a mamzer has no prohibition against contaminating himself to his father or to anybody else. Then why does the Torah have to tell me that an assumed father I'm allowed to contaminate myself? Memunevshach, either way I could contaminate myself to him. Either he is my legitimate father, then he is a Kohen and I'm allowed to contaminate myself to a Kohen, or if he's not my legitimate father, that means that he's not my father at all, then I am not a Kohen. If I am not a Kohen, I'm definitely allowed to contaminate myself to him. Then why does the Torah have to tell me explicitly that I could contaminate myself to my father when it's already implied by the word from my mother? Because in the same way that my mother, I know who she is, if my father is really my father, then I know who he is, I'm still allowed to contaminate. And if he's not my father, then he's a stranger and I'm not his son, then I'm not a Kohen. Then I'm still allowed to contaminate myself to him by virtue that I am technically not a Kohen. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh answers the question of the Chachmei Lunil by saying that they are 100% right. There is no chiddush that this person could contaminate himself to the father, because if he's his father, he could contaminate because he's a Kohen. If he's not his father, then he himself is not a Kohen. He's allowed to contaminate himself to him. The question is not if he could contaminate himself. The question is if he has to contaminate himself. Meaning that if it wouldn't be written the word La'aviv to his father, which includes even a presumed father, I would have thought that you only could contaminate if you know it's 100% sure that is your father. But let's say it is not 100% sure, then you don't have to contaminate and you could remain without bearing. And if you will ask me true that you don't have to bury this person because you're not sure that he's your father, but why shouldn't you bury this person? The answer is that in certain occasions, I would not want to bury this person. For example, if this person passed away Erev Pesach, where by me burying him, I become contaminated and now I cannot bring the Passover offering. In this situation, I may choose not to bury him. Then comes out like that. Had the Torah not written me down Ula Aviv and my father to tell me that even a presumed father, I'm required to bury it, not I may bury, I'm required to bury it, I would have thought that since I am not sure he is my father and I have to bring a Passover offering, I could refrain from burying him till later, till I bring my Passover offering and then contaminate myself to him. Therefore, the Torah tells me that even a father that's presumed, you are required to bury, that if that person dies on Erev Pesach, and even though you are not 100% sure that this is your father, it's only a presumption that this is your father, nonetheless, you are required to bury him and forgo the Passover offering. Even though you are going to be contaminated now by night when you have to bring the Passover offering, nonetheless, you have a requirement to bury him, and that I wouldn't have known unless the Torah writes down Ule Aviv that I'm required to bury my presumed father. This idea of a presumed father or a sure father manifests itself in a different halacha in this week's parsha, which is on chapter 21, verse number 9. There the pasuk says, Uvas ish koyen kisei cheliznois, a daughter of a man, a koyen, when she is defiling herself by committing znus, by committing immorality, meaning according to Rashi, that this daughter of a koyen commits adultery either through marriage or through engagement, as aviyahi mechaleles, she is defiling her father, therefore bo'esh tisarev, she should be burned by fire. First, it's important to know that this is not actually burned by fire in the literal sense that somebody is burned at the stake, that we put wood and we make a big fire and we put this person on top of it. Burned by fire, according to the Gemara, is when we make her drink hot lead and her insides are burnt, but the outside is intact. Sefer Kilas Yaakov has a few questions regarding this pasuk. First, he asks, why is it written Uvas Ish Koyen, and the daughter of a man, a Koyen? The Torah could have just written the daughter of a Koyen without writing the word Ish, without writing the word man, meaning that the Torah, instead of writing the daughter of a man, a Koyen, the Torah could have just written down the daughter of a Koyen. In the same way that is written on chapter 22, verse 13, Uvas Koyen, and the daughter of a Koyen, Kisi Almona, that she becomes a widow, there is referring to the daughter of a Koyen, and there it's not written the word Ish. Here too, when it's talking about the daughter of a Koyen, the Torah could have just written down Uvas Koyen, Kisei Cheliznois, when she desecrates herself, that she would get burned. The other question Sefer Kilas Yaakov asks is, why does the Torah has to tell me the reason why she gets killed? Meaning, the Torah could have just written down Uvas Koyen Kiseichel Liznois, a daughter of a Koyen, when she defiles herself by committing adultery, Bo'esh Tisarev, that we burn her to death. Why does the Torah have to tell me that the reason that we put her to death is Esaviyahi Mechaleles, that she is defiling her father, therefore she is put to death? What kind of defilement is it that she is doing to her father? And why is that the reason why she is put to death? And another question, which is also brought down by Sefer Ateres Tzvi, how is it possible that we should burn this daughter of a Kohen that commits adultery? Meaning that a regular woman who commits adultery receives chenek. She gets death by choking, not by burning. Chenek, choking, is a more lenient punishment than burning. And the Mishnah in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Tes Omed Bey says, Kol Chayve Misus Shenisarvu Zebzeh, all liable for death that were mixed in one with the other, meaning that there is four types of death that are administered by a Jewish court. We have Sreifa, burning, Skila, stoning, Herek, decapitation, and Henek, choking. Let's say those people that are supposed to die in one kind of death were mixed in if other people that are supposed to die for a different kind of death. The Gemara says that nidoinim bekala, that we judge them with the more lenient death. Meaning, the Gemara gives an example, haniskolim benisrafim, if people that were required to be stoned were mixed in, if people that required to be burned, Rab Shimon Omer, Rab Shimon says, nidoinim biskila, that we stone them to death, because shasreifa chamura, because burning is much harsher than stoning, and we give them the more lenient death. Tosfos in Chulin Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b says that this is the case even though there is more people that are going to be burned, but there is a minority of those who are going to be stoned. We still give them the more lenient stoning, even though Rav, the majority, goes against it. The Rivam, Rav Yitzchak Berab Mordechai, asks a question, why don't we follow majority? Meaning that we have a rule that we always follow majority, and if this person that's supposed to be stoned falls in into a group that needs to be burned, and the majority are the people that need to be burned, then we should follow majority and burn this person that requires to get skillet, requires to have stoning. If we follow majority, we should always follow majority. Then why do we give everybody the most lenient death if the majority is from the people that are supposed to be burned? Quite opposite. The person that's normally supposed to be stoned should be burned because we should follow the majority. The Rabbeinu Tam, on his first answer, says that since Memonev Shach, this person is going to be killed, regardless if I give him stoning or I give him burning, this person is going to be killed. In this case, Rabbeinu Tam says, we do not follow majority. That this is an exception to the rule of majority. When we are supposed to kill a person anyways, then we try to give him the most lenient death and we do not follow majority. Normally, we do follow majority, but in this case, since this person is going to die anyways, then does make a difference if he's going to die by stoning or die by burning. Therefore, we give the whole group the most lenient death because we don't go memisa lemisa acharav. We don't go from death to death, meaning from one category of death to the other category of death. We do not follow majority. If there is any doubt which death you're supposed to get, you should be judged by the most lenient death. Sefer Teres Tzvi and Sefer Kilas Yaakov ask a question, according to what we just mentioned, how is it possible that you should give death to a daughter of a Kohen by burning? Meaning that the only reason that we give her death by burning is because she is the daughter of a Kohen. And how do you know that she is the daughter of a Kohen? Maybe the mother committed adultery and she is not the daughter of a Kohen. You must say, because we have a rule that Rav Be'ilois Achrabal, that majority of the relationship was done by the father, therefore we assume that this is the father. Therefore we assume that this is the daughter of a Kohen. But as we mentioned, when it's coming to tell you what kind of death the person gets, we do not follow majority. If we do not follow majority, maybe this person is not really the father of this girl. True, this girl committed adultery and she would die anyways. But when she would die anyways, as Tosfos mentioned, and we have a doubt, we would give the more lenient death. Then we should give this daughter of a Kohen that commits adultery death by choking and not by burning. Because since we don't know for sure if this is the father, we assume that this is a father, we have a presumption that this is a father, we have a majority of relationships that follow the father to say that this is the father, but according to Tosfos, every time I have a minute doubt what kind of death to give, I give the most lenient death, and the most lenient death in case a woman commits adultery is death by choking. Then how can I give this daughter of a Kohen death by burning? Maybe she is not the daughter of a Kohen. True that the assumption is that she is the daughter of a Kohen, but maybe she's factually not the daughter of a Kohen, and then she would deserve choking. And in case of which death to give, we do not follow majority. Therefore, we should always give a daughter of a Kohen choking. What is the case that we could ascertain for sure that this is a daughter of a Kohen and we should put her to death by burning? Sefer Klaz Yaakov answers with a novel idea, and he says there is one sure way to find out that this is the daughter of a Kohen, meaning that we are discussing here a Kohen, the father of this girl who committed adultery, who he himself suspected his wife, the mother of this girl, of committing adultery, and he schlepped her to the Beis HaMikdash to do the procedure of Sota. The procedure of Sota is described on Parshas Nosoi, Bamidbar, chapter 5, where the woman goes in front of the Kohen that is there, and she drinks this water, which is dissolved in it, the Parsha of Sota, Hashem's name is dissolved in it. And if she committed adultery, the Torah says that she would die. And if she did not commit adultery, she would survive. This husband took his wife, and the wife drank the waters of the Sota, and she survived. Then we know for sure that this woman did not commit adultery. If she did not commit adultery, then we know for sure that this is the daughter of a Kohen. In other words, once this woman comes out from this Sota procedure intact, that means that she did not commit adultery. If she did not commit adultery, then we know for sure that the daughter that she had is the daughter of a Kohen. Therefore, we have a sure way to find out that this is the daughter of a Kohen. Then Sefer Klaz Yaakov says, maybe it is not true, meaning it is possible that this woman should follow the Sota procedure and come out intact and still have committed adultery. How is that possible? Because the Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis 47b, brings the Pasuk in Bamidbar, chapter 5, verse 31, where the Pasuk says, V'nika ha'ish me'avoin, that the man will be innocent from iniquity, but the woman should bear her iniquity, bear her sins, meaning that if the man will be clean from sins, then the woman will carry her sins. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis learned, Bizman shawish menuka me'avoin, when the man is innocent of iniquities, meaning he's not guilty of any illicit relationship, then bodkim as ishtoi, then the bitter waters of Sota will examine his wife, will ascertain if she is pure. If he has never sinned in immorality, then the waters will check her out and will make sure that she is pure. But ein oish menuka me'avoin, but if the man is not innocent of iniquity, meaning that the man has sinned in immorality, then in amayim bodkim as ishtoi, then the waters of Sota do not examine his wife, they do not check out his wife, that even if she is guilty, nothing will happen to her, and she will not die, because since the whole idea of Sota waters is a miracle, then why should Hashem make a miracle for somebody who is not worthy and somebody who transgresses that very sin? According to this Gemara comes out that it is possible for this woman to have committed adultery and yet she should still come out intact from the Sota waters, that she will not die by drinking the Sota waters. According to this Sefer Kehilas, Yaakov asks, we have again a question, how do you know for sure that she is the daughter of a Kohen? Maybe this woman committed adultery and her daughter is really not the daughter of a Kohen. Are you going to ask me if she committed adultery, how come she didn't die when she drank the sota waters? The answer is that she didn't die because this Kohen, her husband, himself committed adultery. And as the Gemara says, that when he commits adultery, then the waters don't examine the wife. Then it's possible that this wife committed adultery, and yet the waters of Sota won't examine her and she'll survive. Then how do you know for sure that this daughter is the daughter of a Kohen? Maybe she's a product of adultery and she's not the daughter of a Kohen. And if she's not the daughter of a Kohen, she doesn't deserve death by burning, she deserved death by choking. As we mentioned, that in case that you're going to die and you have a doubt, we are supposed to give the more lenient death. Therefore, Sefer Kilas Yaakov answers that there is only one way for you to ascertain that this is 100% the daughter of a Kohen. And that possibility is only if the Kohen, the father of this girl, had two wives, and he suspected both wives of committing adultery, and he took both wives to the Beis HaMikdash, and both wives drank the waters of Sota, and one of the wives died, and the other one, the mother of this girl, remained alive. Meaning that he suspected both wives of adultery, and he gave them both to drink the waters of the Sota. The first wife drank, and the wife died. The fact that this wife died, that for sure proved that she committed adultery, and it also proved that he did not commit any immorality. Because if he would have committed any immorality, then this wife would not die. Because as we mentioned, when he is impure from sin, then the waters do not check out the woman. The waters only check out the woman if he is pure from sin. So from the fact that this second wife died, that proved for sure that he did not commit immorality. Now the first wife comes to drink the water. The wife that is the mother of this girl that committed adultery comes to drink the water. She survives. The fact that she survives proves 100% sure that she did not commit adultery. Because from the first wife, we found out that he did not commit any morality. And if he did not commit any morality, then the waters of Sota definitely work. And since this mother of this girl remained alive, that proved for sure that she did not commit adultery. If she did not commit adultery, then we know for sure that this Kohen is the father of this girl. Then the only possibility for this girl to be put to death by fire is in the case where the father had two wives and he suspected both wives of committing adultery and both wives drink the waters of Sota. One of them died and the other one, the mother of this girl who committed adultery, did not die. Then we know for sure that this is the daughter of a Kohen. In this case, and only in this case, we'll put this girl to death by fire. According to this, Sefer Kilas Yaakov says, we understand the language of the pasuk, meaning that every time a daughter of a Kohen commits adultery, we have to now check to see if the Kohen is a pure man or not. Meaning, we start to investigate the life of this Kohen to find out if he commits immorality or not, because otherwise we cannot burn this daughter of a Kohen, because we're not sure that she is the daughter of a Kohen. The only way we could be sure is if we check his life to see if he committed immorality or not. Therefore, after we find out that he did not commit immorality, that is the only time that we burn this daughter of a Kohen who committed immorality. And that's why it's written the word ish, meaning always the word ish man means an upright person. And here we're discussing an upright person because that is the only case where we put this girl to death by fire. Therefore it's written uvas ish Kohen, the daughter of an upright man, a Kohen, not just a regular daughter of a Kohen, because we're never sure. But here, because he is an upright man, he is an Ish Kohen, then we know for sure when the wife was tested by the waters of Sota and she did not die, that she did not commit immorality. Then we know for sure that the child is the daughter of a Kohen. That's why it's written that the reason is, as of you, Mechalelas, because by her committing adultery, she triggered an investigation on her father, because the father now has to go through all the tests to make sure that he is not a person that commits immorality, that he is an upright person. Therefore, the Torah tells you, Bo'esh Tisarev, that she should be burned to death. Meaning that her committing adultery triggered the investigation on the father, because he felt the investigation of the father, we cannot administer the punishment for the daughter. We cannot administer death by fire to the daughter, because maybe she's not the daughter of a Kohen. Therefore, we require to investigate the father, and therefore it's written Ish Kohen, that he's an upright man, and also she defiled her father by putting the father through this investigation. Therefore, Bo'esh Tisarev, she is put to death by fire. I wanted to answer that the reason it's written as Avir Mechalelas, that she defiles her father, is for a very important reason. And that reason is based on the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Vav Omed Alef and Nun Vav Omed Beis. There the Gemara is discussing the watches in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash there were 24 shifts of Kohanim that used to rotate every week, and one of the shifts were called Bilga, and normally the shifts that come in divide the Lechem Aponim, the showbread in the north side of the Beis HaMikdash, and the shift that leaves the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, the one that's about to leave the service, goes in the south side. But Bilga was punished that they always have to get the Lechem Aponim in the south side, even if they are the shift that's coming in. Also, they gave another punishment, the Tabatoi Kavua, that the ring used to be fixed. There were 24 rings in the Beis HaMikdash. Each shift had a ring. That ring was affixed to the floor, and you're able to put the head of the animal and close the ring to make the slaughter of the animal easy. But the shift of Bilga was punished that their ring was always fixed in the lock position. Then you weren't able to put the head of the animal, and they always had to borrow somebody else's ring in order to slaughter the animals. And the third thing they did to punish the shift of Bilga was the Chalonois of Setuma, and they closed the alcoves, meaning that along the north and south side of the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash, there were alcoves that acted as lockers, where the shifts kept their knives. The shift of Bilga was punished that their locker was locked up and they could not use it. The Gemara in 56b, Nun Vav Omed Beis, explains why was this punishment administered. Tanu Rabbanan, and the rabbis learned. Masa be Miriam bas Bilga, there was a story, if Miriam, the daughter of Bilga, meaning a woman from the Bilga's shift, Shemira Dasa, she became an apostate, Valcha Venisas Lesardiot Echos Memachi Evanim, and she went ahead and married an officer of the Greek kings. Keshenechnesu Yevonim Leichel, when the Greeks came into the sanctuary in the days of Matisyahu ben Yochanan, Hoysu Mevatas Besandalal Gam Mizbeach, she used to kick with her sandals on the altar, and she used to explain, Lucus, Lucus, Ad Mosei Atu Mechalem Amoinam Shal Yisrael, Wolf, Wolf, till when are you going to destroy, to consume the monies of the Jewish people? Ve'yatu oimed aleim b'shasat chag, and when they need you, you do not stand by them. She was talking disparagingly against Hashem and acting disrespectfully towards the Mizbeach by accusing Hashem that Hashem is taking the sacrifices of the Jewish people, and when it's time to answer their prayers and help them, Hashem is turning a blind eye towards them. Kesheshamu chachomim bedavor, when the rabbis heard this thing, meaning when the rabbis heard what she said, then kovi estabata, they decided to fix and make permanent the ring of Bilga that it shouldn't be used anymore, and they have to go through the embarrassment of borrowing somebody else's ring, not having their own ring in the Beis Hamikdash. Again, the Gemara says that because of what this Miriam did, they decided to punish the whole shift of Bilga, that the whole shift of Bilga would lose the use of the ring because of the action of this individual girl, Miriam Bas Bilga. The Gemara asks a question, Mishum Bratai Kastinele Day, because of what the daughter did, you're going to punish the whole shift? Omar Abaye Abaye says, and yes, we punish the whole shift because of the action of the daughter. Kede Omre Insha, like people say, Shuto de Inuka, the utterance of a child, that the child speaks bad words on the street, Oy da vua, either it comes from the father, Oy de ime, or it comes from the mother. In other words, if she would have not heard these things spoken at home, she would have not said these things publicly. Therefore, we punished the whole shift. We punished everybody because of what this girl did. According to this, I wanted to say that this is what this pasuk means. That this girl that starts defiling, that starts doing znus, then as of viyoy machalelas, by her acting this way, she causes people to suspect now the father, because they're going to think that she actually saw this by the father or by the mother, that they always committing immorality. Therefore, bo'esh tisarev, we have to give quickly a harsh death for everybody to know that this is not something that you do. Therefore, because she, by her doing, causes the father to be defiled, therefore, bo'esh tisarev, she is required to be put to death by fire. And Hashem Yisburach should help. They should marry to see the coming of Mashiach. Then we'll marry to see the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, the service restored. Bimheiro b'yomeinu, Amen.